And stay tuned right now for those two characters of many characters, CBS Radio's Bob and Ray.
And now Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network. Well, yes, indeed, this is the Bob and Ray Show.
Well,
and
came in the other way.
Bob is carrying on a conversation with somebody else.
I'm on the phone.
Oh.
Well, we came in the back door because they said there was a little trouble there.
Well, while he's tied up there with the telephone, I suppose I could take time out, friends, to remind you that...
Yes, sir.
The next time that you find yourself in need of sugar beets, the place to go, of course, is Neal's Sugar Beet Plant.
Well, we'll
Neal has been in the sugar beet business now for almost 11 years.
Well, we can the Neal's Sugar Beet Plant commercial.
Doing over there.
And, I was just talking with the gentleman upstairs, and he would like to have us straighten out the situation in the front hall.
Who's the gentleman upstairs who would have the nerve to call us when we're on the air, Bob?
He has the nerve, believe me, and the right.
He has, huh? Okay.
I think we should straighten it out. It's gone on all week.
You mean they keep falling over the caller out there?
Yes.
Who was it that fell originally, anyway? I forget. Do you remember?
He was somebody we interviewed.
I know it
was. Our book reviewer. I kept falling asleep. A theater critic, wasn't
that's
it?
That's
kept
right.
Falling asleep.
All right, let's go outside and give it. Excuse us, friends. It's a business thing.
Let me through here, please. Excuse me.
Hey, folks. Hey.
Everybody.
Oh, come on. Don't be fighting.
They look
pretty
good. They look
pretty good. But mine don't. Well, my friends are all
over the bar. They're fighting among themselves there now.
No. Come on. We've had complaints from Chester Hasbrook Frisbee next door, who's trying to do a dramatic program. Thank you.
That's better. What is that show that Chester does, do you know?
I have no idea. No idea at all.
Search for something. But I think they'll quiet down now.
What do you mean?
Oh, come on now, folks.
Come in here and sit down.
You should be careful.
Well, I'm very careful all the time.
Somebody like Webb.
Honestly, Bob and Ray trying to broadcast up there, and you two are going to
have it. Not only Bob and Ray.
Do the trick.
Let her broadcast.
The dramatic broadcast.
Fire a
hole. Oh, fire a hole yourself.
Thomas. Oh, come on.
Gee, whiz. Now then, let's get to our first... first of all, Bob, would you get on the phone and call Chester Hadford Frisbee and assure him that there will be no more noise outside?
Right. That's a 217, isn't it?
Right.
Hello?
Hello?
Let me speak to Chester Hadford Frisbee, please.
Wait a second. Chester?
Hello?
Yes?
Chester, you know about that stuff out in the hall, the trouble there.
Yes, would you please...
This is Bob and Ray. We straightened it all out.
Would you please stop it out there? We're doing a very dramatic scene in this program.
I know you are, Chester, and just as soon as we tell the cast off, I'm sure they're going to understand.
Sick and tired of it. You've been doing this sort of nonsense.
I know.
Disrupting my actors and actresses.
I know it.
For almost a year.
All right, well,
let me put it to you this way.
Yes, sir.
That if it happens again, I'm going to have somebody lean on you.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
We'll take care of it. Goodbye. The grand old man of radio directing here, and one that we certainly revere in great measure. Mr. Hasbrook
Frisbee. Now then. The Bob and Ray Everyman Hall of Fame. This week's Hall of Fame sheepskin scroll for public service does not go to the man who wowed our musical selection, but goes to Lester Lash, who gave unstintingly of his time in the interest of us all. Will you please come forward, Lester Lash, and receive the sheepskin scroll, which will find a permanent place in your home.
Well, thank you, Mr. Golding, and it's an honor I really appreciate.
Nonsense, you deserve it, sir. Your act of high public drama proves that, I'm sure.
Well, little did I realize when I cemented over a crack in the sidewalk, little did I realize that I would be accorded such an honor.
Mr. Lash, will you tell our listeners why you cemented that crack in the pavement, please?
Well, this sidewalk, the one we're talking about, is in front of my home, and people passing by were tripping over the crack quite a bit.
And what else were they doing, Mr. Lash, when they tripped over it?
Well, very few of the passers-by actually fell.
Just stumbled a bit, is that it?
That's right. But after they'd stumbled, they would turn around, look back at the crack, and swear.
Or curse.
That's right, Mr. Golding. And as a result, people within a radius of some 200 yards were able to hear the loud swearing, or as you put it, cursing.
So you decided to put an end to all that.
That's right. Not only was it unpleasant to hear, but it was lowering property values in the immediate vicinity of the crack in the sidewalk, so I decided to cement over the crack.
And when the job was finished, Mr. Lash, did it put a halt to the stream of invective that had been heard over such a long distance?
Well, not at first. You see, while the cement was drying, I roped off the area, thus blocking off the sidewalk.
Forcing, I suppose, a lot of people to detour around the roped-off area.
That's right. So the cursing couldn't have stopped right off, as you can see, not until the cement had hardened.
But the important thing is, you got the job done.
Well, it would have been fine if I hadn't accidentally dropped a number of coins into the wet cement while I was doing the job.
Kept the cursing going strong then, didn't
it? Yes, you should hear what some of those people have to say when they try to pick up those coins.
Yes, I can imagine.
Nickels, dimes, quarters.
Well, nevertheless, you've been selected as this week's winner of our sheepskin scroll. The services rendered the community in your neighborhood, encompassing a radius of about 200 yards.
Well, I think that with the new sidewalk set up, we can safely say the earshot area has been extended to a radius of about 300 yards now.
Lester Lash, this week's winner on the Bob and Ray Everyman Hall of Fame. Now, right out that door, Lester, if you would. Say, you know, do you think Thursday's too early for us to give a thumbnail preview of one of CBS Radio's Sunday dramas?
No, especially. Let's do it tonight instead of tomorrow so folks can wear a string around their finger an extra day, huh?
Do people really do that anymore? I mean...
What?
Wear a string around their finger.
Well, I think so, sure.
What do they do when they wash their hands? They take it off and put it back on again, or what?
Well, maybe.
You know, I could stand wearing a wet string.
Let's just suggest everybody...
I like the idea.
...pick up a red crayon and circle Sunday on the calendar.
That would be, of course, to remind them to hear CBS Radio's Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, Suspense, Have Gun, Will Travel, and Gunsmoke.
How many calendars across the land are you supposed to be being defaced right now?
Do people really do that, too?
Do what?
Wear a string around their finger?
No. No, they don't do that at all.
And now, chocolate cookies with white stuff in between them brings you another episode of Lawrence Spechtenberger, Interstellar Officer Candidate.
In our last episode, Lawrence Spechtenberger unwittingly took the wrong side in the great debate at the Interstellar Officer Academy, thus losing the debate for his school. Now, with his classmates in an uproar, Lawrence appears before the commandant in his office in his planetary station.
Well, commandant, what can I say except to say I'm sorry?
Well, Fechtenberger, it was a horrible mistake you made. I think you can tell by the sound of that jeering mob outside that you caused no end of trouble here.
Sir, you have no idea how depressing it is to look out a window and see thousands of your own colleagues jeering at you and asking for you to come outdoors and to face them like a true Space Academy gentleman.
I don't know, sir. I did my best.
They used to be your friends, Spechtenberg.
I know that, sir. But I'm close to tears as I look out this window.
Well, I know, Mr. Spechtenberg.
Oh. Hurt, sir.
Yeah, hit me right in the head, yes.
Here, you jeering student. You realize you hit the commandant with that stone? You're in for it now. You're in for it now.
Well, there's a note attached to that stone, Fechtenberger. Read it.
Awfully sorry, sir.
Oh.
Say, why don't you check on the microphone that is hidden not too far from the commandant's office?
That's right. I'd forgotten about the microphone in the excitement of the debate. Two episodes ago, you just spotted it there, hanging behind the lamp.
Here it is. Let's follow the wire. It's down here and out the door.
If you go out the door, Fechtenberger, you're going to be in the midst of that mob. You know that.
I'm going to follow this wire, Commandant. See where it leads to.
And so, braving the angry mob, Lawrence Fechtenberger leaves the commandant's office, follow the wire leading from the microphone in the lampshade. Be sure and join us in our next episode when we'll hear Lawrence say to Mug Mellish,
"Mug, I want to thank you for saving my skin."
In the next exciting episode of Lawrence Fechtenberger, Interstellar Officer Candidate.
Thirsty people everywhere prefer ice-cold Pepsi-Cola. And because it's light, it refreshes without filling.
Charlie, be sociable.
I am, Kay. Pepsi is a favorite of thirsty people from Maine to Hawaii, from Alaska to Florida.
Charlie.
It's perfect for parties or picnics. So serve Pepsi to your guests.
That's helpful. But
this is the sociable part. Keep plenty of Pepsi ice cold and ready. Remember, it goes fast because everybody likes Pepsi.
Singing still sounds more inviting. May I?
Be sociable. Look smart. Keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair. Everywhere, be sociable. Have a Pepsi.
But singing doesn't say, pick up an extra carton of Pepsi today. Better yet, get a case.
You do that.
Hi, Bob and Ray.
Hello. I took the tape home last night, listened to it, and it's really great.
Did you enjoy it?
You got a time to play it today?
Gee, no, Wally, I'm awfully sorry about this, but we won't have time for that.
Well, maybe I'll take it home and play it again tonight. I've got some friends coming over.
I'll take it as well.
Oh, the director of that dramatic story across the hall.
Yeah.
They're doing?
Yeah. Now, which one of you was talking to Chester on the phone?
That was me. I'm Bob, and I talked to him just a minute ago, and we told him everything.
Just a moment, sir. You can't do that to Bob. I'll have you know that.
That was Ray, sir, and I know that Chester was upset, but you shouldn't go.
Sit on the floor, mate.
Well, I know, but you can't
take cool.
I mean, we have a show of our own.
These two bums will be back to say so long in 10 seconds. Good for the big cotillion ball tonight, will I?
No, we can't cover that very well either.
Till tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumb.
Bob and Ray are heard Monday through Friday nights on the CBS Radio Network.
And from KCBS AM-FM in San Francisco.